Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now on Masechet Chulin Daf Tet Amud Aleph, near the top of the Amud. Continuing with more general rules for a Shochet, these reported by Rav Yehuda, the earlier ones of Rav Yehuda quoting Rav. Now, V'yamar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kol Tavach Shein Yodei Hilchot Shechita, Asur Lecho Mishchitato. So any Shochet who doesn't know the laws of Shechita, you're not allowed to eat from his Shechita. V'yamar Hilchot Shechita, what are they? And then the five famous psulim, we dealt with them in the first shiur, shehiyah, which is delaying, darsa, which is putting pressure on the siman, chalada, which is cutting from the wrong, cutting from the inside, hagrama, cutting at the wrong side, wrong place, ikor, pulling out the simanim. So, maika mashalan kulu taninu. What are you teaching me? After all of these things are explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah as psulim. The answer is, lo tzricha shachat afanenu bet v'gimel pamim v'shachat shapir. Two or three times he did proper shechita in front of us. So perhaps the next one that we found already nishchat, not that didn't happen in front of us, was done well. Could be that he violates shehiyah or darsa and doesn't know about it and won't know to tell us that it's no good. Next thing, and this is going to open up a big door for us. The tabach has to check the simanim after shechita. And Rav Yosef, Yosef says that's not a rule of Shmuel, that's a Mishnah. What's the shiur of shehiyah? What's the amount of delay that generates a violation of shehiyah? It's kadei bikur, investigation. So my love, kadei bikur b'simanim, doesn't that mean long enough to check the simanim? That's the amount of time, and there you see that you have to check simanim. Amar labai lo, hachim Rav Yochanan, kadei bikur chacham. That means the amount of time it takes for the chacham to look at the knife. Imken atatad v'rachal shiurim, because a chacham could be right there, could take longer, and now you've got a variable shiur for shehiyah, which we do not ever tolerate variable shiurim. Ela kadei bikur tabach chacham. It means long enough for a shochet who himself is a chacham to look at the knife, and that's immediate. Now, parenthetically, lo badak mai. We said, Shmuel said, that you have to check the simanim. What happens if you didn't check the simanim? What's the status? Rabbi Elazar ben Antignos, Vishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yanai Amar, Trefa Vasura Bachila. It's considered to be a trefa. We have to suspect that there was something wrong with the simanim before. Manita Tana, but a Brita says, Nevela Umetama B'masa. It's a nevela, and therefore it has Tumat Nevela. Micah, Mipalgi, so what's the difference between this Rabbi Elazar ben Yanai and the Brita? B'dravuna, it's how to apply the position that is later explicated by Ravuna. The status of an animal is that it's asur while it's alive. It's every minachai. So it's asur until we know that it was properly shechted. Nishchata, once shechita happens, now we flip it. We assume it to be mutar until we know how if it became a trefa, and how. Now, Marsa Rabbi Cheskat Isur Kaima Vahashta Meitahi. So the Brita's position is that Rav Huna said we start out with a Cheskat Isur, status of Isur. We haven't done anything to know that proper Shechita happened because we didn't check the Simanim. And now it's dead. What do we call that? We call that a Nevela. Marsa Rabbi Cheskat Isur Minim Cheskat Tuma Lo Amrinan. He said, no, the only status the animal had beforehand was Asur. So the Chazakah of Isur continues. But the implication of Nevela is also going to be one for Tum'ah. And that we don't have from earlier. So we can't assume it to be Nevela. Okay, Gufa Rav Huna. Let's take a look at the second half of that statement. Why didn't he just say, when you shecht it, it's mutar? Why turn it inside out and create a Chazkat Heter? Even though there is a challenge to what looks to be a proper animal, and therefore you might say that we do not have any certainty that this is a properly slaughtered animal. Nonetheless, that's chazkat hater, and now you have to disprove that chazakah. Kedibar mine Ravi Abam Rav Huna. As Rav Huna was asked this question himself. If a wolf came and grabbed the kishkas of an animal that had already been slaughtered and you hadn't yet had a chance to take a look at the innards, and he took it, mahu. So natala letanu. What's the question? You can't investigate them. They're not there. We have no reason to think that there's something wrong with them. What if the wolf slashed his talons into the Bnei Me'ayim in front of us? We know that he slashed it after Shechita. We have no reason to think that these innards had a hole in them, a puncture, before Shechita that would make it a trefah. So that can't be the question. What happens if the wolf steals the innards and returns them and they've got talon marks in them? Perhaps he put his talons right where there had already been a hole before Shechita, rendering it a trefa. Although, or do we not raise such an unlikely suspicion, and we say that it's okay. And that's why Rav Huna said, Ein choshin shem makom nekem nakav, and that's his answer, and that's why he said, Cheskat heter, it has a chazakah of being mutar, you gotta disprove it. Can't disprove it with this faint suggestion. Now, watch the challenge. Etevei, if you saw a bird pecking into a fig, or you saw a rat pecking into to watermelon, we have to be concerned that there might have been a hole there earlier where a snake might have put his poison. And as a result of that, the thing is asur, even though we saw it pecking, we saw the bird pecking, and there's no poison in the bird that we know of. Nonetheless, we're concerned that there might have been a hole right at that spot earlier where there was poison. Rav Huna defends himself by saying, how can you challenge my ruling about Isur from a rule about Sakana, about danger? Sakana Shani. Sakana is far more serious. It's not in the same playing field at all. And therefore, we're much more careful with things of danger. So Amarle Rava, Maishna Safek Sakanta Lechumra. Rava challenged this distinction. He says, since when are we more careful with sakana? After all, safek sakanta lechumra, safek isur nami lechumra. When you have an isur doraita, any doubt goes lechumra. And when you have any doubt about sakana, because that is also doraita, goes lechumra. So Marley Abaye turns to Rav and says, that's not true. Veloshani ben isur le sakanta? There certainly is a distinction. Va'ilu safek tuma b'shuta abim, when you have something that there was a safek of interaction with tuma, but it happened in a public area. What's the halacha? Safekot tahor. We learn that from Sota. If you safek my megulin, but if you have water that's left overnight in those areas where venomous snakes, per the Mishnah and Trumot, and we're going to see that a little bit later on, then even though it's in a public area, we treat it as asur. So you see, Rava, says Abaye, that we treat sakana more severely and more carefully than isurim. Amarle, Rava says, that's not the reason. Hatam hechata gemira la misota. We have a special contour of the laws of tum'ah that we get from sota. Ma sota b'shuta yachid. Where is it that the sota is found so that we regard her as tum'ah even though we don't know? She's in a private area. That's the problem. Av tum'ah b'shuta yachid. So the same thing with tum'ah. Safek tum'ah b'shuta abim is tahor, not because we treat it more lightly. That's just the way that the tum'ah system works. So Meiti Rav Shimi, he has another challenge to Rava. A rat has a dead lizard, let's say, in its mouth, one of the eight shratzim that are tameh. And the rat is walking on top of some loaves of truma bread. And we saw that, but we don't know if the tail of the lizard or some part of the lizard hit the bread. Safek nagas, safek lo nagas, safek tahor. And this is even in a private area. So we see safek tuma, even in a private area in some cases, tahor. Safek mai megulin asurin. The same thing with the mai megulin. So atam nami, the same thing as we had earlier. So atam nami echot agmiri la misota. Rava says, that's no different. We have two halachot we get from sota, two guidelines for safek tuma we get from sota. One is reshut ha'achid, the other is ma sota davar sheish bo dat lishael. A sota is somebody who we could ask, did you become tameh? We might not believe her, but she's askable. That means the agent of tuma has to be someone, a human. A human is alive. And the rat can't be asked. Therefore, that's just the way the contours of tuma work. It's not tameh. So Marvashi, we're still trying to support the position that sakana is dealt with more severely. This is talking about water that's being prepared for the paraduma. If you have a vial that was left uncovered, and then you came back and found it covered, Tamei, I have to assume it's Tamei. Why? Shani Omer Adam Tamei Nichnas L'Sham B'Kisa. The only one who would cover it would be a person. Maybe the person was Tamei and he covered it up. Remember, only people can be Tamei when they're alive. Hinicha Mechusa Uvam Metza'am Gula. But if you've left it covered and found it uncovered, If a rat could have come in and drunk from it, meaning the water level was high enough, and Rabbi Gamliel says it could even be lower because a snake could get in there, we'll see what the difference is. Why Rabbi Gamliel is invoked. Or if while it was open, dew came in, psula. Not tmeah, it's psula because the waters in there will include, possibly, backwash from the rat, or according to Gamliel, a snake has backwash, or it includes tal, and even the smallest amount of water that's not mayim chayim invalidate the water for the paraduma. Ve'amr b'shumar levi matam. What's the reason that we distinguish between covered and uncovered, uncovered and covered? Because rats don't come around, shratzim don't come around, the rodents, and cover things up. Which means we employ a certain amount of reasoning and probability in determining a safek. Skip the parentheses. When it comes to waters that we don't know if they were left out overnight, we say, and any safek is asur. And Rav Ashi puts the final nail in this coffin. We certainly say that sakana is dealt with more severely than isura, and that is indeed the halacha. Alright, good. Tanahatam, which means that Ravuna is defended because Ravuna said that the animal, once it's nishchat, has a cheskat heter, and we don't claim that the hole found later on, when the wolf made the hole, was made where there was a previous hole, thus rendering it a trefana, as cheskat heter. But in a parallel case with sakana, we would be careful and we would not eat the fig or the watermelon. Okay, Tanahatam. Parenthetically, just to finish this off, we have the Mishnah from Trumot. Gimel Mashkin Asur Mishum Gilui. There's three kinds of liquids that have this problem of Gilui. Again, at the earliest period of the Achronim, they already noted that that this entire area of Halacha only applies in areas, in geographic areas, where venomous snakes abound. And that's Mayim Yain V'Chalav. Water, wine, and milk. Those three. Kama Yeshuvi Yuasurin. So how long do they have to be uncovered without anybody watching them for them to be asur? I mean, if you have a barrel of water out there at night and you got somebody watching it the whole time, that's fine. Kadesh yitzer rachash b'makom karo v'yishteh. The snake, rachash like nachash, should be able to pop out from a nearby hole and drink. V'cham makom karo, how close is close? From Yitzhak v'revi rav Yehuda, kadesh yitzer mitachat ozen kli v'yishteh. Could be right underneath the lip or the handle of the kli that the water's in. That's very close. So yishtak chazile. What do you mean? If he drinks, you see him. It has to be longer than that. Yishtev yachzor lechoro. It has to be that he drank from the water or the milk or the wine, and there was enough time also for him to go back into his hole. Okay, we're going to go a little bit further on. We're going to see Rav Huna come back in another context, but invoking the earlier Chazkat Heter, etc., and the earlier Chazkat Isur of the animal before Shechita. Itmar. Hashochet b'sakin mitzeit pkuma. So you did Shechita on an animal, and afterwards you found that the knife it was bent or in some way deficient. Amar Rav Huna, afilu shiber batzamot kol hayom psula. Even if after doing shechita, before doing the check, you were cutting bones with it, which would certainly have bent the knife, we still say the original shechita is psula. Chashiran shema ba'or nifkama. We raise the concern that perhaps the knife got bent on the skin of the animal when going in. Rav Chista Amari says the opposite. Kshera shema be'etzem nifkama. Maybe it was bent on one of the bones you were busting up. Now, Bishlam Rav Huna Kishmata, we understand Rav Huna is consistent with his own position, because what did he just say earlier? He said that an animal has cheskat isur. So now that there is a challenge to the shechita, we say we don't yet know that there was a proper shechita, because the knife, at the first time we look at it, is bent. By the way, we did check the knife before shechita. Now, Ela Rav Chista Maitama, what's Rav Chista's position? Amar Lacha is very simple. Etzem vadai pogem. We know that a bone will certainly bend the knife. Or safek pogem, safek lo pogem. Skin might not. Have a safek uvadai. So we have safek of the bone, of the skin, versus vadai of the bone. And safek motzivide vadai. You can't use a safek to trump a vadai. So therefore we attribute the bent part, the bent knife, to the bone. So meitiv rava l'siyol ravuna. Surprisingly, ravuna gets support here from rava. Tavavi alav and sa'alav devar chotzeitz. The guy goes from the mikvah. And after he comes out of the mikvah, you find something on his skin which would have been a chatzitza if he had it on during that time. Even though, let's say, he was involved with those sort of things all day, let's say he was a farmer and he was constantly involved in digging the dirt all day, and he only found it at the end of the day, but he hadn't checked after the mikvah, we say lo al talo tefillah. He doesn't have a tefillah, meaning it doesn't count. Until he could testify and say, I know that dirt was not on me when I went into the mikveh. It's afterwards. Unless he could say that, we have to say it might have been at the very beginning, just like here, just like our case, like Ravuna's position. Here, the guy certainly did physically go into the mikveh. He may or may not have had the chatzitz on him. This is kind of a curious twisting of the parallels. But we're saying the safek, that the thing was on him at the time, trumps the vadai that he went into the mikvah. So shani hatam deikal mer ma'amen tamei chazkato. That's different, because in that case, the guy himself had a chazkat tuma before he went into the mikvah. So just keep that chazaka going. So do the same thing with our animal. Like Rav Huna said, an animal starts with chazkat isur, and now that there's a challenge to the shchita, just like there was a challenge to the tevilah because of the chatzitza found on him, say that the shchita didn't happen properly. The answer is ayish chuta lefanecha, but it is slaughtered. So chanami ari tava lefanecha, same thing, the guy went to the mikvah. So the answer is halit yala debe reuta. The guy who went to the mikvah has a challenge to his proper mikvah going with the chatzitza. Chanami yala debe reuta, same thing here. The animal, although it was slaughtered, that act of slaughtering has a challenge to it because it's got this deficiency in the knife. The answer is sakini troi be maloi troi, and this is the critical difference. In the case of the animal, this is Rav Chisda's position, the knife has a challenge to it, the animal doesn't. As opposed to the case of the mikvah, the guy himself, there's a problem with him because he has a chatzitz on it. Okay, now this challenge comes from a ruling about shchitat ha'of. So far we've been dealing with shchitat behema, where both simanim, the veshet, the esophagus, and the kaneh, the trachea, have to be cut. Here we're going to see the gargaret is another word for the trachea. We're going to deal with shchitat ha'of, shechting birds. You only have to shecht one siman. However, both simanim have to be in place properly when you do so. Otherwise, it's a trefa. So shachata veshvachakach nishvatar gargaret. If you shechted the esophagus, you sliced the esophagus, and afterwards the trachea got moved out of its place, got displaced, kshirat, because you already shechted. But if you flip the order, then psula, obviously went in the wrong order. But here's the case. You slice the trachea, the esophagus, and then you found that the trachea had been moved, and you don't know when. So zehaya ma'aseh, this actually was a case. What was the ruling? Kol safek b'shchita pasul. They said, any safek b'shchita, which sounds like any time that we don't know that the shchita was done properly, it's pasul. Isn't that there? Isn't that there to support our case? We did shchita and then found a pgam in the knife, so you don't know it was properly? No. It's only there to say that if you did the shchita itself, and in the shchita itself, there is now a safek, I don't know whether I delayed, I don't know whether I put too much pressure on the siman, then we say psula, but not this. Umayishna, so why do we distinguish? Again, the same distinction. In the case of darsa or shihiya, you have a problem in the animal itself. But in our case, the knife is the problem, not the animal. All right. So we rule per Rav Huna that the knife is invalid and the past shchita is no good if you never did break a bone with it afterwards. So you can't attribute the bent knife to that. And Rav Chisda, we apply Rav Chisda's position where you did break bones. So that means Rav Chisda himself, his position is that it is always valid even if you didn't break a bone with it. And we say that the shchita was good and the problem is later. So what then caused it if not breaking the skin? The answer, the hyoid bone, which is the bone that's right in front of the trachea, and around the trachea, that's where he broke it. So have uvda, now we have actual case law. V'taraf Rabbi Yosef ad place achiyuta. Rav Yosef declared, remember Yosef was blind, so this is done probably based on somebody else testifying what he saw. Rav Yosef said, 13 animals here are treif. What was the case? Kaman, Rav Huna, Afilu Kamaita? Was he ruling like Rav Huna and saying, when we checked the knife after Shechita number 13 and found a Pagum, I'm going to say all 13 of them are Pagum, including the first one, because I will assume that the that breaking the skin on the first one caused the bend? No, perhaps he's ruling like Rav Chista and saying only the last 13, maybe there were 14 of them, the first one is good. And by the way, it's a case, of course, where you did not check the knife in between each Shechita. But really, we have to say that Rav Yosef was ruling on Rav Huna. Since, after all, according to Rav Chista, we maintain that it only broke at the last possible moment. Chazaka de Mikara, basically. So why would we say that it broke, that it bent or got damaged on the hyoid bone of the first animal, so that the first one's good, but the rest are no good? Why don't we just say it broke on the hyoid bone of the last animal? And allow all of them. So it must be that he was ruling a Rav Huna. So he said, Rav Kahana Matzik B'dikuta Ben Kochada B'chada. So Ravashi was told that his Rebbe, Rav Kahana, used to require B'dika of a knife between every Shechita. If you're doing a bunch of them, you have to check in between. Come on, Rav Huna M'nisa Kamaita. So he asked, does he mean he's ruling on Rav Huna? And he's saying that when I check the knife, I find a pasul, the previous Shechita will be no good. Look, Rav Chista, Shoy Batraite. He's ruling like Rav Chista and trying to say, in order for the next one to be good. Which is a little bit at odds with the last analysis, because it seems to say that according to Rav Chista, if we didn't check in between each one, we would only allow the first one. Perhaps. Or maybe this means l'chatchila. If that's the case, you should not just have the shochet check it. You actually have to call a chacham in, because you always have a chacham check the knife before you start shechita. But if you're going to demand it between each animal, you should have the chacham check it also, and we don't. The answer, ein achad nemam isurin, because we trust the shochet, like we trust any other Jew, about Isurin, about kashrut of something. The Shochet says, I checked it. So Yachin Ikar Namilo, so then why do you need the Chacham to check it even from the get-go? The answer is, the answer is, you're right, is that checking the knife before the beginning a series of Shechitot, having the Chacham check it, really is only a matter of deference to the Chacham and a matter of honor and a formality and not really necessary for the Ne'manut, that the knife was okay. I'll pause at this point. We have a remarkably elegant piece coming up of the source of Chazaka and of Rove in the next podcast. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.